Well, believe it or not, with this tremendous rainstorm we're having in Spokane, Matt is stuck on the freeway. Welcome to Northwest weather in October. Tom Reed here. Matt's special guest today is going to be Art Thompson. Matt will be along momentarily. And meanwhile, we have picked out some of Matt's favorite musical selections by Billy May. If you tune in late, Matt Shea is on his way. This weather has just been unbelievable today. The water is cascading on the roads. It'll clear up for a bit in Spokane, and then all of a sudden just start pouring. So you can imagine the freeway to the Spokane Valley has got to really be something in terms of traffic right now with this tremendous rain. I might mention while we're waiting for Matt to arrive at his studio, he does the program, by the way, from his studio, not from the ACN studio on the South Hill, where it is also raining very hard, that the contractors are working on KFIO on the tower work, and even in this weather, getting the station ready for, we hope, testing at full power of 25,000 watts this coming Saturday, Lord willing. And I'll tell you, the construction people are really brave to be working in this sort of weather, but then, as they say, they are from the west side of the state, so they are used to this type of weather.
I don't know if they're used to it, Tom, honestly. I don't know if you can ever get used to this kind of weather. Are you still there?
You are on, my friend. Give us the traffic report. How bad was it?
It was crazy out there. It was crazy on the freeway. It's coming down like I haven't seen it in a long time. So thank you for covering for me. Well, everybody out there, this is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live, as you can tell, from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. And once again, and brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. And we have a lot to talk about today, as we did back on Tuesday. There's so much happening in the world. It's almost impossible to keep up with everything. But I want to highlight a couple of things. So stay tuned. Especially, I want to highlight the Hearst decision and how that's going to be affecting water rights and some of the just kind of initial analysis that's gone on with that decision, because it is going to have a tremendous impact on everyone that lives in this area, and especially if you have property that you have not put a well in Eastern Washington. But we always have to remember, you know, despite everything that's going on around us, we really have to keep our focus, not in worldly things or in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And very, very interesting right now, the amount of angst that is out there. I'm being inundated by emails from people who are wondering what my recommendations for this election are. And I'm glad that people are asking, because we have a lot of important races, and we're not just talking national. Actually, the most important races are at the local level. County commissioner, very important. And I'm going to get to those here in a second, and I do have my recommendations. They are going to be posted up on the website today, and I will make sure that there's a cross link posted on Patriot Radio on the Facebook page so that you can share it with your friends and family. And I went through a lot of stuff looking at these things, and I really want to highlight a couple of them when I get to it here in a second. But first, from the international front, very interesting that Julian Assange's internet was cut, the Ecuadorian embassy, apparently because he's putting out too much of the truth. Interesting indeed. Also on the international front, in Yemen, the Shia minority Houthis have been launching attacks against U.S. destroyers. Now, it happened a couple of times. The U.S. did a limited strike back, but it goes to show you that there is a tinderbox there happening right now between the proxies, Iran and Saudi Arabia. And also, it goes to show that the Middle East is not going to cool off anytime soon, which brings us to the interesting case of the Russians launching one of the largest exercises in the history of modern Russia after the Cold War, running warships through the English Channel. And those warships are headed to the Middle East. And they're headed there because in the next couple of weeks, it's expected that there is going to be an all-out assault on Aleppo, where it is really the last rebel stronghold in Syria. And the Russians are going to, I guess, seek to claim victory after that. Which brings us to another interesting thing. Now, this is all timing, folks, so understand this. It's going to take those warships a little while to get there. Once they get there, there are going to be massive airstrikes against Aleppo in Syria. You're going to see that battle intensify here in about 10 days from now, okay? I mean, it's already intense, obviously, but it's going to get even more intense to the point of a culmination of what may be the war there. Which brings us to Iraq and also Dabiq, a couple of things that are happening. First of all, the battle for Mosul has started to kick ISIS out of Mosul. And there was this allegation from the Russians that the United States has struck a deal to let ISIS flee 9,000 from Mosul to Syria to continue the fight there, ostensibly in anticipation of the ramp up in Aleppo. But I think there's something else probably going on here too. I think there's the extension of this Iran-Saudi Arabia proxy war going on too. And so it makes it sound like things are reaching a conclusion. I don't really know if they are. Interesting, too, on the international front, ISIS, less than 24 hours, kicked out of Dabiq, Syria. Now, their magazine was called Dabiq. It was huge and central to their prophecy, that there'd be this great battle in the end days, and they would beat the Romans. Apparently, the United States is the reincarnation of the Roman Empire to them. Well, 24 hours, they were kicked out of Dubuque. They had to change their magazine name because, obviously, the prophecy failed. So I find that very interesting as well, that that is going on right now. And then a little bit more alarmingly, on the international front, apparently the Philippines is separating, quote-unquote, from the United States of America. We've had close relations for a very long time. And their leader, Duterte, is going to China to strike some new deals. So they are now, so this is kind of shades of Cold War. They are now breaking alignment with the United States, separating from the United States, and now aligning with China, which should make every person from New Zealand and Australia that listens to Patriot Radio, and yes, there are some, very, very concerned. Because what that's doing is it's China expanding its reach, not through conquest, but through diplomacy. And you see this quote, very interesting, this quote, "America has lost," end quote. And so there are very, very clearly a realignment going on in the world, and especially ahead of the elections. But the fact that the Philippines is aligning with China, very alarming as far as geostrategic things are concerned. On the national front, again, this bombshell report that the fixer of Hillary Clinton has come out and talked about all kinds of, I mean, it is, frankly, it's sordid. Talked about all kinds of things, you know, arranging trysts with men and women and all. Just, I mean, it's just sordid, this report that's come out. It's also interesting that you do not see a lot of it talked about in the mainstream media. You don't see, you just don't see it happening. And you have to ask yourself, what's going on that the mainstream media won't even, I mean, they won't even talk about the fact of the emails that we've been talking about this show for a very long time, but they won't also talk about the fact that there are people that are coming out that are outing her, and there's no, apparently no consequence. None. Now, if this was me or you, we were running for office, I'm sure we would be under this. Well, I already am under this microscope. The media tries to, they can't find anything, so they try to gin and create stories here in Spokane. And so many times they wonder, how come, you know, these stories don't have an effect? And it's because we're a small town, even though we're large, we're a small town, and people know it's just not true. And so what happens then is that the media continues assailing because it's part of an agenda. Now, here you have the opposite. The media is completely shut up. And I think most media outlets are beginning to realize, TV and newspapers, that when the baby boom generation is gone, so are they. And that the internet and radio is going to continue in regards to true news. But the fact they can't even talk about that, they can't even talk about the rioter, this guy that bragged about starting a riot in Chicago was on Hillary Clinton's payroll. They can't talk about the fact that one of the WikiLeaks emails that came out, Podesta, they mentioned wet works, not being a dirty pool party, which is a euphemism for assassination. KGB, 13th Directorate, wet operations, that's the euphemism. General Mihai Pachipa, who I mentioned quite a bit on this show as far as his book is concerned, they mention that, and there's nothing being talked about. Then you have the whole issue of voter fraud and James O'Keefe coming out with these video after video of Democrats admitting they've been doing this for 50 years and then talking about how they can do it in this current environment. And then you have the EPA and the federal government refusing to press charges on this EPA worker who completely ruined that Colorado River with toxic waste. Right now, if that was a business, all you small business owners out there, if that was a business, I mean, my goodness, you'd already be in court. Already be in court. It's just this gigantic, it's a gigantic double standard. It really is. And it's really a standard that protects government above the law. I mean, if you read some of these emails or you look at some of these videos, and what is clear throughout it is they don't care about the rule of law. They try to claim it when they're going against conservatives and Christians, but they don't care about the rule of law. In fact, in some respects, there is no law anymore because they aren't respecting it. And literally, they make so many rules and regulations that you can't keep up with it. So practically, there can't be a law either because nobody knows how to follow it. When you go into court today, it's interesting. I was talking with a couple attorneys about this recently, a couple people earlier today, actually. When you go into court, you don't know what's going to happen anymore. It used to be there was a predictability with the law that you could go into court and you could say, hey, look, the law is on your side. The facts are on your side. Should end up going the right way, right? The predictability is not there anymore. We don't know what's going to happen when you go into court, which is why judicial races are so important. And I want to go through a few of those here in a second. But that brings us now to the Columbia River Treaty. And a couple of things in regards to the Hearst ruling, okay? Now, if you haven't heard about the Washington State Supreme Court Hearst ruling, it essentially makes illegal permit-exempt wells in practice. Now, I want to give the grand picture here, okay? In the Columbia River Treaty, they want to ultimately control all the water in the Columbia Basin, okay? That's what this is about. Now, but when they do this, what they try to do is they try to cap the water. They try to put boundaries around the amount of water that is actually there, okay? And in the Spokane Aquifer, for example, it hasn't dropped a single inch in 100 years of development, but they don't even have the accurate aquifer footprint. It's actually bigger than a lot of these radical environmentalists will try to claim. So by shrinking the footprint, there's, quote, less water, and so we have to limit development, and we have to meter wells, and we have to control everything, right? When it's just not true. Then, on top of that, you have what's called in-stream flow. So let me give you an example. They try to put boundary around the aquifer, but then they try to put boundaries around the flow of the river. Because if you can bound it, then you can control it, and you get where that's going. And here's how they do it. So they'll measure the flow of the river before it goes into the aquifer. Then they measure the flow of the river after it goes into the aquifer. And yes, the river actually flows into the aquifer, the Spokane River. Downstream, the aquifer actually comes back into the river, but they don't measure after that. And so what it makes it look like is the flow is dramatically decreased. There's less water. Again, bounding it, controlling it. That's how this stuff works. So the Hearst ruling is essentially saying that you cannot put in a well without massive cost. In fact, there's this push now maybe to put the burden on the property owner to prove the viability of water, legality of water, when in fact that's always, at least under law, always the county's burden. And so you have this huge issue right now with new wells. But I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, I think it applies to old exempt wells too. And I'll tell you why. Because you can't say there's enough water to allow the drilling of one without figuring out how much all the other exempt wells actually are using. You see how that cap works, you know, when they bound the amount of water, that's how it's working. And that's why water rights, there's an old saying that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting, and that's Very true. This is going to be a huge issue going forward, because what this essentially is going to do is massively delay development, drive up the cost of putting wells in, could double the cost of putting a well in. And so we're going to be tackling this in legislature. We're going to be tackling this on the legal front as well. But all of this is tied together. And I want to also end the regional front with one thing, and that is the trial, the Mahler trial down in Oregon. The jury has been sent to deliberations. Again, three paid confidential informants have been outed: Mark McConnell, Terry Linnell, John Kilman, who actually his name is like Fabio Menaggio. This is his real name. Can't make this stuff up. Fabio Menaggio. Anyway, 15 confidential informants were at that refuge, which brings up the question, how could it have been a conspiracy when a good portion were paid by the government? Because that seems like an entrapment then at that point. Okay, so the jury is deliberating. As soon as a verdict comes, I will let you know. And I may post it on Patriot Radio's Facebook page if it comes when we're not on the air or before we go on. So for the next show for Tuesday, because I don't know how long they're going to be deliberating. Also, on the local front, once again, I'm proud to say that I received the endorsement of the Washington Association of Police and Sheriffs, the largest 4,500 members, rank and file law enforcement organization in Washington state, contrary to everything that you're hearing out there in the mainstream media. And by the way, they haven't covered this endorsement, by the way, because it kind of shatters their narrative. And I'm also proud to announce that I did not, once again, receive the endorsement of the Socialist Review, which is a badge of honor. And I'm going to put something out about that here in a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, Socialist Review said they couldn't endorse me because I failed to support local law enforcement. But local law enforcement endorses me because I do support local law enforcement. So I'll let you guys figure out who's more accurate. Also on the local front, we have the elections coming up. There are a lot out there. I have posted them up here, and they're going literally going up as we speak at VoteShea.com. You can check it out. Click on Solutions, Matt's Take on Elections, and you will see my take on elections. Now, folks, I do want to say this. Okay, and again, it's at VoteShea.com. And I'm going to be linking it on Patriot Radio's Facebook page here in a second, too. But I want to say this. We are literally voting this time around for the survival of our republic. If we do not turn around this country, crush the administrative state, get rid of the massive bureaucracy, get rid of all of the rules and regulations that are shackling the American spirit, if we continue to have a foreign policy that is kindly schizophrenic, and that is, again, putting it kindly, if we continue to ignore the Constitution, if we continue to allow the federal government to control vast swaths of land in the West in contradiction to the U.S. Constitution, if we continue to allow this to happen, and we continue to have these horrific so-called free trade agreements, which are not about trade and are not free, this republic will be over. There, it cannot stand another 4 years of socialist communist destruction. That is what we are fighting for. And I wish I could put it in different terms. I wish I could say that it's not the case, but it is. And you've always trusted me to tell you the truth up front and be blunt. And that's where we're at. We are fighting for the survival of our republic and the rule of law, not government above the law, but a rule of law. And there is no way that we could allow Hillary Clinton, a known quantity, communist socialist, into the White House and expect that we are not going to have her try to make a run at the right to bear arms and try to cede U.S. sovereignty to extra national bodies. And with Donald Trump, I think we'll have a chance. And that's why I'm going to be voting for him. We are literally at that point, folks. I have talked and investigated with leaders at the highest levels of government and across this country. And we've all come to the same conclusion. We are literally voting for the survival of the republic. So check out my recommendations, especially the judicial recommendations at the local level. Ward Andrews, Tim Fennessy, men of honor and integrity who will uphold the law and return predictability to the law and limit their scope to what they're supposed to be doing, and that is doing decisions based on the facts of a specific case and not trying to promote an agenda. So take a look at it again, VoteShea.com, under Solutions, Matt's Take on Elections, and that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody, once again, that has gone to Patriot Radio US and liked the page. We got a bunch of likes this last week, so please keep it up. We continue to grow our footprint, and there are people literally listening all over the world right now on American Christian Network streaming over the internet. And so to everybody outside the United States that loves freedom, God bless you, and we're with you. And to everybody here in the American readout, we're the last great obstacle to the globalists. Well, this is a listener-supported show as well, so you can go to VoteShea.com if you want to help keep us on the air. But again, just go there and check out my take and my recommendations on this election. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Art Thompson, the head of the JBS, the John Birch Society, and somebody that has been fighting the Trans-Pacific Partnership and this whole idea of free trade for a very long time, longer than I've probably been alive anyway. But Art, thanks for joining me on the show today.
My pleasure.
Well, if you can, tell the listeners a little. You're going to be actually here in Spokane.
Yes, next Tuesday. I'll be out at the Center Place Event Center. It's out in Spokane Valley, and I'll be talking about saving America by killing the TPP.
Well, I just testified myself in front of the Spokane Valley City Council on this issue, and it was interesting. The argument from the other side was, why do you guys hate trade? Which is not true. We love trade. We just don't like this so-called free trade. So if you could explain to the listeners what the difference is and why TPP is so insidious.
Well, I can explain the fact that it's not free trade in just one easy logical sentence. And that is, if government is involved, it cannot be free trade. It's free trade when government is not involved. And here we have an agreement that they've drawn up that's over 5,000 pages long. You can imagine what's in there. About 5% of it is trade, and the rest of it is the growth of international government regulations, new courts, new commissions, and giving the power to the new commission to alter the treaty at any time without Congress, without the Supreme Court, without a vote of the American people. So it's a pig and a poke. And it's highly dangerous from the standpoint of the sovereignty and independence of the American people, and especially the Constitution. So, again, getting back to the point, it cannot be free trade if you've got those sorts of regulations and commissions and courts and that sort of thing. Free trade is simply a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, on which is the sentence, we, the undersigned, agree not to interfere with the businessmen in our country trading with the businessmen in your country. End of it. That's it. One sentence. That is free trade. When you start putting all these regulations and commissions together, can't be free.
And that was very eloquent, because I really don't think people understand this is a huge increase of the growth of government at a global level. And there's been a huge backlash against globalism here over the last year. Can you describe a little bit about what the implications are of the growth of that global government?
Well, the growth of anything like this means an accumulation of power. It really doesn't matter how it starts. If you start to grow anything, a business, local government, national government, an international government, it is ultimately going to accumulate power. And as Lord Acton told us, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It can be as innocent as can be in the beginning, but if you start giving power to people to regulate, if you start giving power to people to decide who does business and how they do business and everything else, at some point it's going to become corrupt, if that was not the point to begin with. It's just a natural human and government trait. It's the nature of power. It's the nature of government. And that's why we drew up the Constitution the way we did. And I say the we, I mean, you know, the American founders, was to limit the power of government. And many of those things have already been eroded in our own government, which we can see. Can you imagine what it would be like, you know, if we have no say-so whatsoever, or even a chance to be able to undo what an international commission would do to us? I mean, you've already signed it. See here on the dotted line, you agreed to this, that we would regulate your economy. We would regulate your trade. We would regulate how you move product in and out of your country and how it's produced and who manufactures it and how much it's going to cost and on and on and on. And then you throw in the environmental controls, and then, boy, you've really got a problem.
Well, you know, I brought up during the monologue about the fact that the media just, you can almost tell, I mean, I've used this as a rule, actually, that the candidate in a race that is being most savagely attacked by the media is probably the better candidate, right? I mean, that's just kind of this idea. Well, the society has been attacked for years. There's been a whisper campaign literally for 40 years. They are kooks. It's conspiracy theory. There never is going to be a global government. There wasn't any intention to do that. And all this stuff, and just smearing and smearing and smearing. And yet, you have very well predicted where we would be at today. And if you could share with the listeners a little bit about this idea that this is an intentional attempt to remove U.S. sovereignty and replace it with global governance, not just with trade, but in all aspects of what we would traditionally think of as a government.
Well, I hate to quote him, but I'm going to anyway, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said something that was very astute, and that is that nothing happens in politics by accident. If it happened, you can be sure that it was planned that way. And all we did over the years was able to take a look at the planners, what they said in their books and their papers, their conversations, their speeches, etc., not to the people, but behind the scenes, to the various organizations that do want an international one-world government, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the various Peterson organizations, Atlantic Council, all those sorts of things. They came right out and stated it openly in those private meetings, but they never said it to the American people. So all we were doing was just taking a look at what they've got planned, what they said they had planned, and exposed it as widely as we could. The newspapers didn't do it. The New York Times, Wall Street Journal. In fact, in some cases, these very newspapers became allies of this movement, because the people that bought them out or started them or own them or manage them are part of this coterie that wants an international government. In my new book, for instance, To the Victor Go the Myths and Monuments, I outlined how this thing was all started and imported into the United States from Europe. This idea that a small group of Europeans would ultimately run the United States. And that has come about. We're starting to see it. The American people, I think, in this election cycle particularly, are beginning to notice that, hey, wait a minute, we have a giant, to put the word on it they use right now, a giant establishment that wants to protect itself, to protect its interests. And if anybody wants to restore the Constitution, if anybody wants to push government back down to the level of the people, they come under attack. And this has always been the case. You know, and the thing really is this, that when it came to the attacks against the John Birch Society, just to give you a little insight, I took the oath five times to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Foreign uniform, one in civic office. And you know, they teach us who the foreign enemies are. They never teach us who the domestic ones are. And the thing is about the John Birch Society, we tell people who they are. We tell and expose who these people are in these organizations, where they're going, what they want to do, and how they're going to accomplish it. And that's what they don't like. They do not like exposure. But at any rate, getting back to this election cycle, I think that this election cycle has shown the American people the tremendous lockstep of the media, of the big banks, of corporatism, of socialism, and the communists in the streets all the way to the top. It's incredible. And I think a lot of people are waking up. I just hope they wake up enough to get out and vote.
Well, I do too. And you know, a lot of people, I think they're fixated on one man, Donald Trump specifically, fighting the globalists. But it can't take one man. It's going to have to take all of us working together at particularly the state and local level to make sure that we do push back against a lot of this stuff, because it's at the state and local level that this stuff is enforced.
Well, that's true. In addition to that, it will not matter if we can solve the problem today. It'll be back in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, if we do not educate the electorate. The electorate has to understand the Constitution better than they do. We don't get it in the schools anymore. We don't get the God-given principles upon which the Constitution was established in the schools. I mean, they're taking God out of the schools, and yet the Declaration of Independence says we get our rights from our Creator. Now, if you can't talk about God, you can't talk about how we get our rights from God. And so we need to start going into not just local government, but into our local schools as concerned parents, and see that we're able to teach in our schools these fundamental American principles, because our kids aren't getting them. Homeschoolers, Christian schoolers, academies, that sort of thing, they do to a certain extent. But even there, they don't do it they don't really do a great job. They do a superficial job of getting their students to understand civic responsibility under the principles of American government.
I've noticed, especially recently, and I had a run-in actually with The Stranger, which is the most liberal paper in Washington State, and that is saying something. And they were outside of a city hall over on the west side of the state, and they tried to ambush me. You know, they said, "Is it true that you believe in Agenda 21? And I said, "Are you talking about the 30-chapter, 300-page document entitled "The UN Agenda for the 21st Century"? I do believe that's real." And they didn't know what to say because they're not reading. It's amazing to me.
Well, this is part of the problem that, you know, now we in the John Birch Society, we have our own individual preferences, but as an organization, we don't endorse any candidate. But let me tell you this. There are a lot of things that Trump says that people don't understand because they don't have the depth. And quite frankly, many times he could do a much better job of explaining what he's trying to say. And if he doesn't, and if any candidate, I don't care who he is, if he doesn't explain these things better, then people, they kind of screw up their face and say, "What's he talking about?" Because we assume everybody else knows what we know, and they don't. And so a lot of times we got to start out with A, B, C. Instead, we want to go to W, X, Y, Z. And that's a huge mistake. We've got to get back to the level of educating our neighbors, educating our local officials. You know, a lot of these guys really have the best interest of the community at heart, but they are ignorant. And I'm not calling them stupid. I'm just saying that they don't understand some of these basic principles and why not following those principles will inevitably lead to more power to government and more corruption, no matter what label you put on it.
Well, this is Matt Shea with Art Thompson on Patriot Radio, CEO of the John Birch Society, and somebody that has been fighting against the globalists and for America for a very long time. All right, I want to get back to the TPP real quick.
Sure.
There are a lot of things that are in there that could destroy America. But here's what stood out to me. So NAFTA and CAFTA were both passed with these laudable goals of ending poverty and increasing jobs and prosperity, et cetera. And they seem to fail on every single goal. If you could explain the TPP and why you think it would be so detrimental to America, besides the massive expansion of that global governance you mentioned earlier.
Well, first of all, they are selling this thing as if it is just the group of people that are group of nations that are currently on that negotiation. But just as we say, I said before, we take a look at their where they're going by looking at their speeches and so on and so forth. Ultimately, what they want to do is to bring China in as the alpha male in the TPP. That is where they're going with this. And they really mean to make China the big boy on the block in the way of trade. It will be the death knell for industry in the United States if that happens. And that's just one thing alone. As we know, what's happened as a result of so-called trade with China, it has decimated our industries. You know, we could spend 2 hours talking about the problems that have ensued as a result of turning China into an industrial giant while we've decimated our industry. Just to give you one little point. Now, these little things can bring home something to make the point better than a grandiose explanation. We cannot put a major aircraft manufactured in the United States without important parts from China or Russia. We can't do it, particularly those things made out of titanium. That's what it's done to our aircraft industry. Now, just think for a moment what that means in the way of military defense. We cannot manufacture any of these airplanes without foreign parts. In fact, if you look at the whole study of what's happened as a result of these trade agreements, 80% of the components that are put into military accoutrements today are foreign-made. Now, if we had an attack equivalent to a Pearl Harbor today, we'd lose that war because we don't have the industry, we don't have the ability to even gear up our industry for a prolonged war. It doesn't exist. So on that level alone, that's how dangerous these things are. It's killing our ability not only to maintain our sovereignty, but to protect that sovereignty in time of war and the independence of the American people in case we go to war. It's getting to that point.
I think that's why there have been a lot, at least here in the Spokane area, a lot of union members have reached out to me and other people, and they're going to be supporting anyone who will protect jobs staying in America. And I think they have finally realized that these so-called free trade agreements are not actually bringing jobs to this area. They're actually taking them away, and they're making us more dependent on China, like you said, and putting us in a very weak geostrategic position. So with that, what are you seeing nationally as far as kind of the I hate using the term working class, but just the folks who have a job and may happen to belong to a private sector union, you know, metal or steel workers. What are you seeing nationally as far as they're concerned waking up to some of these issues?
Well, it's surprising how much union union locals, even some national unions, are waking up to the fact of just what you've described. They are very concerned about these treaties. Now, whether they're concerned enough, for instance, to vote differently than they normally do in the pattern that they've exhibited over the last 50 years, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that they're very concerned over the TPP. In fact, there's a union coalition that put out a video that you can get from us. I can't, right now, it just slips my mind what it's called, but it's actually put out by unions on the dangers of China, what it is doing to the United States through trade. You know, one of the things that's also happening, and a lot of people don't realize this, is that as a result of the imports into the United States from China, they're taking that money of the American consumer and turning it around and buying up farmland. They're buying up industry. There's a law against any foreign government owning media in the United States, and yet they've got a company, a shell company, that they're using to buy up newspapers, televisions, television stations, and that sort of thing. So they're not only using these things against us economically, they're starting to come in and give us propaganda aimed at the American people so that they, in turn, can even further inject themselves into politics. You know, everybody says, well, Putin is trying to affect the election. They don't even realize how much the Chinese are involved in this, way behind the scenes to where you don't see it. But they own a lot of these stations and media outlets now. That's illegal. But Obama looks the other way.
And he has been looking the other way for a very, very long time. Well, I want to give you the opportunity, Art, if people want to actually come to the event that you're going to be at here in Spokane, or they want to subscribe to the New American Magazine, the one magazine that I think everybody should read cover to cover, where can they go to do that, and where can they show up for this event?
Well, to show up to the event, it's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock next Tuesday at the Center Place event, center, that doesn't seem to make sense, the center at the first and center at the last, but that's the way I copied it down. It's out on North Discovery Place, 2426 North Discovery in Spokane Valley. Admission price is $5. You may think it's going to be a dry thing on trade. Believe me, it will not be dry. You're going to find out things that you just are going to be blowing your mind. But as far as the New American goes, I would suggest you go to JBS, John Birch Society, just the simple initials, JBS.org, and log into our website and take a look at some of the issues. You can get on our top daily headlines. For instance, we send you 5 or 6 articles every day written from scratch by our own people. In other words, we don't post stuff up on our website from other publications. We just do it all ourselves. And every week you can get those things non-intrusively into your laptop or your phone or anything else. And you can actually subscribe to the magazine itself from there. But start out with the top daily headlines. I think you'll really enjoy it. JBS.org.
So there are a lot of young people out there that are waking up too that I've run into. And what would a message be that you would have to the young folks out there, about getting involved and also about where to go learn about truth and our American heritage and the Constitution, because a lot of them aren't getting taught it in school?
Well, first of all, again, I'll redirect them to the JBS website. They get all sorts of videos. They're very cheap. A dollar a piece, that kind of thing, that give the very fundamentals of what we're talking about. But I want to interject one thing. One of the mistakes that people are making is that they think they can do this thing online, and they can enhance what they're doing online, but they've got to get physically involved. They've got to get face-to-face. You know, we're in danger right now, and this is something that we haven't discussed, but we're in danger right now of losing the internet to freedom-loving people because Obama has started the process of turning the internet over to an international consortium under the United Nations. And some of these people in there are Chinese and other totalitarian states that don't allow their own people access to Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing. And what do you think they're going to do to us if they get control of the internet completely? They're not ready to do that today. But next year, if Hillary gets elected, for instance, I'm not going to hold my breath. And these sorts of things are in danger of being lost to us if we don't organize now, inform ourselves, start linking arms with our neighbors in the local level, and start to get to work.
Very well said. And in the final couple minutes that we have, I've really found that locally, so let me back up. The United Nations has put out a lot of policies, and one of the criticisms is there is no conspiracy. They're just putting out policy. Nobody's making them pass it at the local level. And yet that's exactly what is happening at the local level. And while free trade and TPP, this so-called free trade and TPP, our, you know, international agreements, there are profound and dramatic local effects. And how can people fight back at the local level? You mentioned education, but also physically showing up. How can they fight back at the local level with all of this stuff? Because ultimately the Achilles heel is, if they can't enforce it at the local level, then it's irrelevant. It won't be enforced. It won't be in fact.
Well, putting it in a chauvinistic way, they're going to have to start electing alpha males and men and women who are willing to stand up and say no and mean it and suffer the consequences for standing up. You know, what would have happened, for instance, if George Washington heard from Martha and she said, you know, George, we really need your home here at the farm. We're doing pretty good now. You know, you almost got killed in the French-Indian War. Maybe it's your time to let somebody else do it. What would we have as a nation had he listened to an argument like that? Not that she would have ever used it. But now is the time for people to stand up, not in a violent way or anything else, but just say no. Now, I served on my city council. One night we had five votes. Four of those votes were mandates that we had to pass. They could not force us to have they could not enforce these things on us unless we pass an ordinance, but they could enforce us to pass the ordinance. And I said, well, let's have another vote. Let's spend $5 on a big rubber stamp that says yes on it so we don't have to meet like this anymore. Well, they didn't think that was too funny. But that sort of thing is going on. The UN mandates this down through the government agencies. The government agencies do it down through the legislatures. The legislatures do it down through the city councils and the county commissions. And that sort of thing's got to stop. And until a guy is in a council and a mayor, those people with the backing of the local citizens are willing to stand up and say, enough's enough, we're not going to take your money. I'm willing to go to jail if necessary, and I don't advocate that. But that's the kind of mindset that you've got to be able to say, look, this is time for a mental revolution, not an actual bullets fired revolution. But we've got to think in terms of we've got to stand up. Let's call it better a restoration, because that's really what we're fighting for. We want to restore the republic. And unless people get the backbone to do that, and I'm not advocating violence, I'm not doing anything like that, I'm just saying the city officials and the county officials have to do this, not the people going out and stopping, you know, the police from coming in down the highway or anything like that. We've got to instill it in our local government, and it's got to start soon.
I totally agree. Art Thompson, CEO of the John Birch Society, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight, and I look forward to seeing you on October 25th.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Art Thompson, again, going to be at the Center Place Regional Event Center on October 25th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. He's going to be talking about saving America by killing the TPP, this Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the whole idea behind that, again, globalization, because America is the last great obstacle to global government and this consolidation of power at a global level. And folks, it's bad enough having power consolidated, even at a state level. To have it consolidated at a global level, as if the UN has been able to run anything functionally and efficiently, it's a pipe dream. It's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. It's not the way the world actually works. So again, Art Thompson is going to be here in Spokane Tuesday, October 25th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center Place Regional Event Center. I want to end the show again with a preparedness minute. And I talked about the four S's last time. I talked about learning self-defense. I talked about learning how to shoot. I talked about getting in shape. And I talked about learning how to come together as a small group again, about 10 families or so, so we can become Americans and learn what's going on with our neighbors. This show, I want to talk about food and water. Now, everybody out there, if you have not stocked up a year's supply of food and water, you should. We live in America. There is abundance. We can do that. And some people, I'll relate a story. A pastor friend of mine of a major church here in Spokane mentioned to me that he felt led by the Lord to build gigantic brick ovens to bake bread in the back, okay, of the church. great, and they did it. But I asked him, do you have any wheat? And the answer was no. We have to actually have some of these staples to survive, and wheat is one of them. We live right on the edge of the breadbasket of the world, the Palouse. Hard red winter wheat, the one of the best varieties that is out there, highest in protein content, and it comes right out of the Palouse. And there are some farmers down there, including Clint Didier, who are actually growing GMO pesticide-free wheat. So there, we have the opportunity. It's right on our doorstep. Wheat is very easy to store, and there are many places online you can find out where to store wheat and how to store wheat. Very easy to store. Why not have some extra food? And look, if we never need it, great. But it's like an insurance policy, right? You never need it until you need it. And maybe we could, if we don't need it, we could take it down to the food bank and we could feed a bunch of folks or help our church do a feed of the local community. It's just a way to be American again and to love our neighbors tangibly. And I've always maintained that you can't love your neighbor if government's doing it for you. In fact, my opponent actually, he has a disclaimer that he believes that the most fortunate should be able to help neighbors who aren't so fortunate, but he wants to do it through tax increases. And that is exactly what's wrong. No, yeah, we have the ability to help our neighbor. We just need to go help our neighbor. We don't need government to do that for us. We just need to help our neighbor. Now, bring up water as well. There are all kinds of different water filters out there. Many of you have, there's Life Straw, and there's Sweet Water, and there's Katadyn and a few others like that. But there's a big one called Berkey Water Filters that are really good for a family, and they filter a lot all at one time. And so that's where I'd leave it. Food and water on your preparedness minute. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may He truly make this the greatest one.